watching Notepad, and I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. If you are watching this show, my suspicion is that you're from the affluent market. And if you're not, that's fine. Aspiring to be in the affluent market is also important for one to discuss. But for this engagement this evening, I have with me Ipsos Research House joining me in this conversation of the latest research that they did about the affluent consumer market. And joining me is their managing director, Arun Menon. Arun, thanks again for taking the time to spend with us and have a chat with your recent research. When we got the press release about the recent research that you did about the affluent consumer market, it hits me on two interesting points. Because number one, nothing excites me more than retail business and consumer retail. And I think that B2B business is also important, but I think the consumer market is actually the one that moves the needle a lot in the economy. The second is that the affluent market is something that a lot of people think they know about the affluent market, but not many people have the hard data to discuss what works and what doesn't work for the affluent market. So because of that, this is a very interesting interview for me to have, because it discusses both the consumer market as well as the affluent consumer market. So let's talk into why Ipsos does this research in the first place.
Thank you, Ibrahim, for inviting us. So you're right, the affluent or the market is something that moves the needle when it comes to the consumer, and because they have the biggest purchasing power as such, and they are not afraid to spend as well. So why we did this research? This is a research, it's not a standalone. It's one of the longest longitudinal survey that we've been doing from 1997, covering in Asia around 11 market and also across different geographies. And why specifically is that we all know that 2020 is not very optimistic to a lot of businesses because there is economic issues happening across the globe. And then some of our clients reached out to us, is that all doom and gloom? But when we look at the data, and specifically after the study, there is a specific segment in the market, they are still looking positive towards spending, and affluent is one of the key segment. And as you rightly said, there are different type of affluent. There is somebody what we call as a mass affluent or emerging affluent, so they have enough disposable income, and somebody who is real affluent, which is like a much more income to spend in the market. So this is a group which the marketeers has to tap into, because they're still positive about the economy, they're willing to spend.
Okay, so there are two broad types of affluent: those that do have the purchasing power, meaning if they, for instance, walk into an Apple store, they can buy an Apple product just off the bat.
Absolutely.
There's also the aspiring affluent, perhaps people that might have earning capacity that will become affluent later on in life. So these are the people that walk through an Apple store, targets an item, but might not be able to actually, you know, get that particular product. Okay, so is there any objective amount of income or household income that can classify oneself as an affluent or not affluent?
Okay, so what we refer to is what Department of Statistics Malaysia has considered as like a 6,500, somewhere close to 5,500, 6,500 is the average income of a M40 household. So we have to everybody above that average household. So this is your middle class and your rich, not the super rich. We consider the middle class and the T20 at the top, right? So this is the group that we are targeting. And so what we consider into broad group, as we discussed before, is the first group is someone who is 6,500 to somewhere close to 15,000 ringgit per month. And the other group is anybody who is above that 15,000 ringgit household income. So the first group, as you said, is that they aspire to buy an Apple product, they can take a loan and they can fulfill because they have the income to do it over a period of time. And there's the other group which can actually go and buy as and when they want to.
Okay. So is this marker, the about 5,500 or 6,000 ringgit for the first subsection of affluent, and the 15,000 and above maybe, is this marker in tandem with the other geographies that you do this research? Meaning that if you earn, I don't know, 3,000 Singapore dollars, you would be in this particular group as well.
So in other geographies, completely different, because each economy is very different.
Yeah.
And how to say in Hong Kong or Singapore is much higher in terms compared to Malaysia on that. Whereas when it comes to countries like Indonesia and Thailand, they are probably a bit more closer to us. But in Malaysia, what we did is that we have a significant chunk of people who are in the middle income, and that's part of the Malaysia, because we are a middle income economy aspiring to be a high income economy. So we want to target that as well. So that's why we emphasize on the 6,500 to 15,000 income household income and the 15,000 plus as two specific groups.
I would like to get into the findings of the particular research, but before we jump into the findings, I still want to learn more a little bit about how you compile the data. What was done in order for you to understand or unearth the kind of facts that you're going to present in this particular report?
So every year we interview around 2,000 representative customers of, or you know, individuals of this categories, around 6,500 plus income, and in Malaysia it's batched in two phases so that we capture the, you know, uncertainties in economy and everything. So in first half of the year and the second half of the year, and we consolidate it and present it at the end of the year to all our clients and the marketeers in general as such. And this is across the region as well. We cover around 2,000 in each of this 11 market, around 2,000 interviews as such. 2,000 for us, when it comes to a specific like segment like affluent, it's not the broader everybody, it's the affluent segment. It's quite representative for us to cover that information. And since we've been doing over the years from 1997, we have quite of a comparability from the last year. So as much as the information for this year, we also want to refer it back to the previous years, how things are changing. And this is quite a defining moment for countries in Asia, because we are getting more wealth is moving to this region and attitude is changing when it comes to people. So if we find it's a bit of a break-even period for most of this attitudinal shift. So that's also interesting to see.
We will definitely talk about the shift of changes very shortly. Still want to go into the methodology. Do you go into a lot of quantitative way of doing things, or a lot more qualitative, a lot more interviews? How do you work?
So it's a quantitative interview. We cover around 25 to 30 minutes, covering a lot of topics related to their spending behavior, their media consumption behavior, whether they watch Astro Avani, or in the sense that do they watch it on mobile versus on internet, or where do they watch it? And those kind of information, their financial information in the sense that how do they bank into, do they use digital payment, those aspects of it, in terms of where did they go for the next last holiday, and how many times did they go? So this is the information that we capture, a lot of sectors and a lot of information, because each of the client would want to get it for their sectors as such. But along with that, we also try to be representative to the wider population. So we would want to have representation from the millennial segment, and we would want to have the older affluent segment, or the, you know, women as a group, right? So we have it representative to the affluent population of the Malaysia. That's the 2,000, and the approach is through online. So increasingly, more people are comfortable answering questions online than, you know, stopping them on a street and in the sun.
Yeah.
So it's more increasingly
online.
Everybody
likes that, right?
Yeah. So they are comfortable doing at their own convenience. They can complete on your mobile, or, you know, or on their online chat, whichever form of internet they can access to. So we do it through online. We reach out to a specific the target group over the online.
How do you know that you're confident of the result? How do you know people are not messing up the results just for the fun of it?
Yeah, so we have a quality control process which we have put in place. So when the people comes to the interview, we make sure that the person who is answering is in line with the data that we already captured about them.
But so outlying findings might be important too.
Yes. So what we do is, that's what we call is the variation from the data. So you have an average score, and how huge is the variation? And this variation is justified with their income or the education? That's something which we do as per the quality control process as well. But, or is a person is just clicking the answer of doing it? So that's also a part of the our data processing and the quality process, to remove those responses, which not necessarily is actually for the purpose of answering the survey, or they're killing time, right? So we would want to screen out those anomalies, and at the same time collect a representative population data. So if you are an affluent, say from a rural Malaysia, we want to capture that as well. So we need to make it representative to the overall market of Malaysia as well.
I mean, everybody aspires to be one notch higher.
Yes.
Okay. We'll take a short break. I'm supposed to take a break, by the way. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Ipsos on their affluent market research consumer report. Don't go anywhere. Thank you. thanks for staying on with us. We are in a very fascinating conversation with Arun Menon of Ipsos because they have recently launched their 2019 Affluent Consumer Market Report. We're teasing you for a bit now. Let's talk about the findings first. Before we talk about the standalone kind of findings, let's talk about the changes that you were talking or you were alluding to. There were some trend changes between consumer of this year versus last year. What are the key changes that you saw that is worthy of us to talk about?
So one of the, there are three things which we say. The people are bolder, they're willing to take more risk when it comes to decisions. That's one thing which we've been seeing in Asia and specific, even in Malaysia as such. That's one part of it. The other part of it is that people are increasingly become conscious of the environment. So they are going after, you know, they have an intention to go after the sustainable products and sustainable goods as such. And surprisingly, in Malaysia, there's another finding, they're also willing to go local. So if you are a company who is a locally manufactured and a Malaysian company, and they are quite keen to buy those product, and if that's fit into their needs and aspirations. So they are willing to move much more local as well. So there are three major patterns that we are seeing, because initially it used to be if you're an affluent customer or a super affluent, you would want to travel, you want to go to UK, you want to go to some other Singapore or Hong Kong, even in the region. But now they are increasingly say that, why can't I buy those in Malaysia, and why can't I buy some of those Malaysian made products as well? So that's a trend which is picking up as well.
So if you are a digitally savvy company who has sustainable business model operating in Malaysia, you hit the jackpot.
Absolutely.
With the affluent market.
Yes, because they see that the sometimes the Malaysian producers or marketeers, they understand us better.
You have inspired about 50 founders out there watching this TV show,
So they, and especially, and if they are tuned to that segment, as you said, digitally savvy, that's another thing. We have seen that from 25% of digital payment in the last year when we tracked, now we are around, we are looking at around 45% people using digital payment to pay for their goods and services.
Okay. Hang on. So before this, about one quarter of the affluent market, which is about 10 million, 20 million, 12 million people here in Malaysia, last year, one in four is more attuned to digital payment.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's close to half.
Yes, reaching half.
Reaching half. Digital payment can be defined as what? As GrabPay, FavePay, those kind of
everything
brands?
Everything that you are using through online or mobile.
E-wallets?
Yes,
Of them. There's also digital banking?
Absolutely. All of them are included. And so this is everything other than cash and credit card where you physically use at a retail outlet.
Yeah.
Everything is considered as digital. So there is, it is very different by each segment within the affluent, right? So when we look at the millennial segment, it is much higher than 45%.
Oh, because, I can imagine that.
Yes, so it's much higher than 45%. But when you look at a bit more older segment, it will be lower.
But an average. But to get 45%, you need to get the older segment of the affluent to pump in as well.
Yes.
So, that's interesting.
So we have seen that picking over the period of time, over the last 5 years when we've been tracking. Initially, it used to be that when you are traveling, you will book your ticket probably online.
Yeah.
All right. Then it's gradually moving into more and more products and services. And now we are booking a lot of affluent segments, including their grocery purchases and their shopping and everything is moving through the digital and online payment.
If you're a business owner and you're not digitally, I guess, savvy, you are more of a brick and mortar kind of company, how do you try to tap into this affluent market? I mean, other than having a fancy shop?
So that's a very good question, in the sense that if it would be very difficult for operations to survive if they don't have a digital presence or a digital, which we already know. Unless you are a very locally community-based establishment, if you want to reach out to a wider segment of the affluent segment, you need to have a digital option and you need to have a digital payment option for them to purchase online. But we also need to know that this is a group who influence others. When you look at affluent, I say the rest of the market is looking at this group. So most of your influence, social media influencers and others, is coming from this group. So what they do and shop online and their behavior is influencing the wider segment. So they're actually carrying the rest of the society as well in terms of purchasing and behavior as such. So if this group is shopping online, then the rest of the group will also be influenced to move to that direction.
That's bizarre, right? Because even if you're not in the M40 affluent segment and you're not in the T20 or you're super rich, maybe ultra rich, top 1%, top 0.1%, you are still looking at the influencers of the day at on Instagram or whatever.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And because of that, do you think that brands would serve themselves well by engaging influencers in this particular
In specific segments? So because one of the things which we noted, which is compared to our European colleagues and, you know, some of the other markets in global American colleagues, we have a much younger affluent group.
Oh.
Yes. And we have much gender balanced affluent group.
Compared to
Europe
markets.
And US. And
Europe, they say old money anyway, right?
So yes.
It's like old people having money.
So it is much more gender balanced. It's almost like the affluent for when we did the survey is kind of equally split between male and female respondents in itself.
And the younger group as
And the younger group average. And much more educated. So we are the average education and qualification level of the Malaysia affluent. And
So there are instances where affluent market is not educated in other markets.
Yes, they not necessarily have the same qualifications
yeah.
as, like, you know, for example, your graduation and post-graduation.
Yeah.
The wealth is not necessarily always correlated to education.
Yeah.
Right.
You just broke a particular, I guess, a stigma that I have.
Yeah. So in Asia specifically, because we are, most of them are emerging economies in the region, a lot of people are well educated. So when it look at the affluent segment, when we did the survey, on average, the Asian affluent in APAC and even Malaysia as well, we are much more educated, much more gender balanced, much more young in the overall group.
So
and the funny thing is that we spend a lot more time on social media than all of them as well. So
that's so there you have it, right? I mean, for businesses actually listening to this particular interview, you kind of get the right.
Yes, yes.
So you're giving free advice. So now Ipsos would have a tough time trying to find revenue. Are there any markets a bit like us in terms of young, educated, gender balanced?
So in Asia, this is more or less the trend, because if you look at our, you know, Thailand or Indonesia as well, it is almost the same level in terms of the age and the, you know, and say. But gender balance is quite. Also, we've seen it's a bit more in Malaysia compared to some of the other markets in itself. So in APAC market, you have Singapore and Hong Kong, which is quite unique and distinct in itself, right?
Yeah.
And where you have the rest of the markets, which is like Malaysia, then Indonesia, Thailand, and other, is much more similar to each other in itself. So in terms of, but the main difference for Malaysia, when we compare to all other market, is that coming back to the point that the average amount of time we spend on mobile and social media. So we, on an average, we spend 3 more hours than our colleagues or, you know, friends in Singapore.
This is actually in line with some of the Twitter representatives that I speak to, Facebook as well. Facebook keeps on saying that Malaysia is like the highest, if not one of the highest Facebook users in the country. And basically, our life is actually built around social media. For better or worse, this is where Malaysians live.
And also, the interesting is that it's a cross-media platform listening. So your audience, when they are listening to Astro Avani, they are checking their mobile as well.
Yeah.
So, and they are speaking to somebody or engaging on some other activity. So they are hooked into multiple. On an average, Malaysians are more likely to hooked into multiple platforms as much as spending a lot more hours as well.
Yeah.
So it's
Wait. So are you saying multiple screens?
Multiple screens. So they would have probably a laptop on their side and they have their mobile and at the same time they're watching Astro Avani.
I mean, right now I have 3. I have a phone, so I have my watch and this one.
So that's the other thing. So we are actually trying to catch their attention span within this. So
which is horrible.
Exactly.
We're now down to like 3 seconds. That's it.
Yes.
And you know, as you scroll a particular time feed, nothing works, move on. It's mad. How do businesses try to market themselves in 3 seconds?
So, and between the 2 to 3 platform that you're looking into.
Oh my God. So it's like half of the 3 seconds.
Yes. So, and that's the challenge. So as much as they are engaged online and internet within the segment, they are also engaged across different platforms.
Okay.
So getting their attention will be as we go for much more increasingly challenging.
Okay. So far in this interview, you have identified who are the affluent market, you have identified what makes the move, you have also identified the challenges.
Yes.
Trying to get
But that's not the full of what we did. There's a lot more information which is
Yeah, of course, then we have to pay Ipsos for a bit. Right. We'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss trend moving forward for this particular report. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. You are watching my show Notepad, and I have with me Aaron Menon of Ipsos talking about their Affluent Asia launch 2019. The report basically talks about the affluent market, a market that many businesses covet and try to entice to buy their products from. Of course, Arun, it's also important for us to talk about the trend moving forward. I mean, I guess it is. To qualify, we can talk about the trends because you have been doing this for over two decades. You've seen the changes over time. And therefore, it's, I guess, safe to presume that you can extrapolate what can happen in the next 1 or 2 years. Mm. So what would be some of the trends that we can talk about moving forward for the affluent market in Malaysia?
So one of the things which we speak to, we spoke about advertising and giving that, you know, getting the visibility across this media, right? Sometimes we kind of underestimate the role still played by the traditional media. So in Malaysia, there's still a lot of people do watch the traditional media. So it's not a jump from the traditional media to digital media. It's like a slow transition, obviously. And this we would consider will happen over a period of time than actually a switchover over a period. So that's one thing. So if you are a marketer who is advertising on digital media, you have to, as we discussed, you cannot sustain without being, but you cannot also not ignore the traditional media. There are still people spending time on TV, looking at magazines, and whether it's online or offline, we still use some of these channels.
So I still will have my job in the near years.
So that's one part. And the other part, we spoke about digital payment, the increasing relevance of digital payment and how we move towards the cashless society. We do see that that's an accelerating trend. So it's 20% that we are speaking, right, from 25% to 45%, and in the next year and year after. So there is still a small segment of the society because of the lacks of access and some other cases, they still need to use cash, but we are seeing an increasing move towards that digital option. So if you are somebody who is trying to sell something online or, you know, promote something online, you need to have that online option readily available in itself, right? So that's another part. The last one which we want to say is that before, when we spoke, affluent usually referred to that, you know, super rich people. So we are not speaking about extreme rich here. We are speaking about people who are aspiring to be, or they have enough money to spend on that. But what people are looking is that, I'm not looking just for the brand. I'm looking for an experience with you, right? So if I'm going on a holiday or a vacation, when I'm taking a flight or I'm booking a resort, I'm looking for an experience along with the brand. So if you are not giving me that unique experience, then I'm not going to spend with you. That's a trend which we also seeing along with that. So luxury, or that feeling of the luxury, is along with the product, is being translated to that experience or such. So, and people
so,
are looking
so people are walking into an Apple store, enjoying the facilities there, learning how to use the camera on the iPhone.
Yes.
Then only you buy the iPhone, something like that.
Yes, and even if you are buying a suit, then you would rather go, and you need to feel that experience, and like, you're just not going and buying a product, you just need to be felt that I'm spending money on it, so I need to feel that I'm making the right choice, going through the right experience in itself. So when you're going for a restaurant, that's the same thing. That it's not for the food or the chef itself, but I want the full experience of it. And when I'm going for, you know, spending time in a resort, I need to have the full package or experience than just being associated with a specific brand.
Okay.
So that's applicable to when you're buying a watch, when you're buying a garment, or when you're buying a lot of items.
Or even property.
Property,
whatever.
Exactly. So some of our clients are from the construction industry. So they are. We are suggesting them, how do you reinvent the full process of, you know, proposing an offer for them till they've walk in into their new homes, right? So, and that's exactly this affluent segment who is able to buy a property in Malaysia, and they want to get that experience that I'm spending money And I am, this is a very aware group of people, right? They are very tech savvy, they know what's happening in the world, and they would want to know that, am I getting that experience or am I just being buying a brand? They are not just buying the brand, they want to get the experience with the brand as well.
Okay, so there's the importance, so business owners, if they're listening to this show, there's an importance to market towards traditional media, perhaps even Astrawani, maybe, I don't know. There's also a conversation of trying to have a strong presence in online, and therefore online marketing prowess has to be there, online marketing strategies have to be aware. There's also a conversation for them to understand that digital payments and tech savvy has to be a key component. Finally, that experience that you speak of is also important. So if people want to learn more about this report, how do they go about it?
So we can they can always reach out to our website, Ipsos Malaysia, and also they can also write to affluent.southeastasia@ipsos.com, affluent.sea@ipsos.com.
All right, fantastic. That was my conversation with Aaron Menon of Ipsos. You can also listen to this interview on the newly launched Astrawani app. Just download the newly launched, and this is as newly launched as possible because we launched it yesterday. Enjoy the new UI experience or using interface experience of it. If you have any complaints using the particular app, just let us know on the feedback page on that app. That's it from me for this particular show. Thanks very much for watching. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you.